This morning we're going to talk about the parables of the leaven, or yeast. Like, that's pretty exciting stuff, don't you think? We're going to talk about yeast this morning, okay? So are you happy?
Yeah!
Everyone say yay! Yeast, the leaven, woo! Wow, what did you learn about in church today? And so I trust you had a good week, everybody. And how many of you love the sound of laughter? I love the sound of laughter. And, you know, this sound of laughter in the house here on Wednesday night with all the children and the parents and the grandparents. And you know what? It was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty to hear all the laughter. I'll tell you one thing. It touched this guy's heart. Amen? To hear the laughter, oh my goodness. I was just doing things in different parts. Everywhere you went, there was laughter, you know. I'd come in here, I had to do something, and there was laughter hiding under the pew over here, and laughter, you know. There was just laughter, and it was like, you know what? It's 10,000 square feet of safety, of a place where we could worship God, where we could honor each other, we could respect each other. So I just want to thank every one of you that served, that came. I love the local church. You know that? I don't make any apologies for the local church. There's nothing like the local church. You know what? There's some people that would have a discussion with me about that. I don't really care. Like, I will listen, but not intently, because I love the local church. There's something about the local church. Wouldn't you agree? You know, I love it. I'm thankful for those who are committed to this local church. I believe that we are a family together, and together that we could raise up a godly generation. Can you say amen? I believe that. Okay, I believe it. It's what gets me up in the morning. It's like, you know what? I love the local church. I love the Gateway family. And the last time I spoke, we looked at the parable of the mustard seed. And this morning, we are going to look at the parable of the yeast. Say that with me, yeast. From Luke chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And so let me just read that for you this morning. How come I'm not working out here this morning? Anyways, then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and it became a tree, and the birds perched on its branches. It grew and it became a tree, and the birds perched on its branches." Again, he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." So what is yeast or leaven anyways? What is that? Can you run my show for me from there, please? It's the second slide. And so what is yeast or leaven anyways, and how does it have anything to do with helping you today get through this day? Okay, what does it have to, how is it going to help you make any daily decisions? What's, you know, we're looking at a Bible story about yeast, about leaven. So, you know, you have decisions to make in your life. What does this have to do with anything that you're going through in your life today? Like, seriously, like, do I have a nerve? You come here and I'm going to talk about yeast and you don't know what I'm going through, Pastor, all of this week. You know, so like, what does it have to do? And, you know, and are the mustard seed and the yeast parable stories, are they even relevant for today? Is it even relevant for today? Well, let's find out if it's relevant for today. What's the relationship of this parable to that of the mustard seed? And you know, we need to read these together. And we see that both of these parables emphasize an intentional process with an explicit goal. An intentional process with an explicit goal. And the mustard seed and the yeast, they portray a surprising effect of something small and also something unobservable. How many of you this morning have ever felt small? How many of you have ever felt small? How many of you have felt unobservable? here. Insignificant, unobservable. You're in a room, all the attention are being played to the presented to the Barneys in the room because we talk the most and everything. But how many of you are, you know, you've just been unobservable in your life? Well, allow me to set up the scene for you. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue here, and some have rejected him. Actually, many have rejected him. And others accepted, as we see in verse 17 of the verses. And I just imagine that Jesus, he's being stirred here. His mind is being stirred to think about the kingdom of God, because that's who Jesus was. He thought about the kingdom of God, a subject that the people needed to understand more fully, a subject that we need to understand more fully here as well this morning. Amen? And so the kingdom of God is illustrated in verse 18 as we see it. It's like a mustard seed, which we learned about a few weeks ago. It is like leaven working in bread. So Jesus, the master teacher, the teller of wonderful parables of the kingdom of God, he starts to share that the mustard seed was planted by God. The seed was not planted by chance. It just didn't happen. And with purpose and thought, God planted and he nurtured the seed, meaning the kingdom. Amen? Go to the next slide, please. So next, the kingdom of God is like yeast or leaven. Leaven changes and it transforms bread. That's what it does. It transforms bread. I don't cook, except on the barbecue, but does anyone make bread here? Like, so do you use leaven? Really? So you can actually like buy this stuff? Really? And it transforms bread. And bread just made from water, it's hard, right? And it's dry, and it's not very nourishing. But leaven mixed in with the dough, it changes and it transforms the bread tremendously. And it becomes a thing of beauty that some of you eat way too much of when you go to Eastside Mario's or anywhere else.
Don't judge me.
Sheesh. Amen. And it does four things. It does four things. And I want to draw a parallel to your life journey this morning, amen? To your life journey. Leaven makes bread soft. Okay? No longer hard. Right? And the leaven of the gospel does exactly the same thing. It makes our hearts soft. Makes our hearts full of love. It penetrates our hearts and it softens the hardness of our life, no matter what we have gone through. How many of you this morning have forgiven things that you could not imagine that you would ever forgive? But because of the grace of God in your life, you have been able to say, I forgive. Amen. I forgive. You know, that's the leaven just doing a work inside of you. It's a thing of beauty. So we become much softer towards the Lord and towards the needs of each other. We don't have to win a battle. What happens is we want to serve people with kindness, with words, with love, and all of these things. And softness is definitely one of the trademarks of a transformed life. Amen? Secondly, leaven, it makes the bread porous and moist. It's no longer dry. You know, how many of you have ever had dry seasons in your life? You know, they're just dry, you know. I don't know what it is, but the leaven, the gospel leavens, and that is it transforms a person's heart, giving them life purpose and joy and hope and all the satisfaction a person could ever desire. I didn't say it took away the circumstances. Okay? That's not what I'm saying here this morning. The leaven is not going to take away the circumstances. It's going to change our heart. And leaven makes bread nourishing. No longer of little benefit. So you people here this morning, if you love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are not insignificant this morning. You are no longer of little benefit. Yes. You are worth huge benefit. And I don't care who you are in this place. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what your story is. I don't care if you were one of the people that Dave Douglas arrested when he was on the police beat, okay? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then what happens is you are not a person of little benefit. You are a person of great benefit. And the leaven of the gospel, it does that for you. The gospel not only gives you purpose, but it inspires. It inspires. Man, I've been a Christian since I was 30 years old. And I get up, and I'm coming to church this morning, and I put on Facebook, Yahoo, I'm to church. I'm on my way to church. So who does that? Am I crazy? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what? Like, there's a lot of other things you could be doing. But you know what? The Lord does things. It transforms. It inspires us. And a relationship with the Lord, it wants us. It helps us. We want to inspire others. Okay? Now, maybe it's not. Maybe you're not going to be in your face like I am. But you know what? Every one of us has a desire to inspire someone with something, with a kind word, with a love. And Jesus, he stood in the synagogue with only few persons who truly believed that he was bringing the kingdom of God to earth. And we see that all around us every day. And in fact, the ones that were sitting around did not believe in him at all. And a lot just, they opposed him. But he knew something. He knew something. God was planting the kingdom of earth through him. He knew it. And therefore, the kingdom was destined to grow. The kingdom was destined to succeed. And in spite of what is before me this morning, in spite of what is before you this morning, I believe that his message transforms. Can you say amen with me? I believe that it transforms. It did it for me, it did it for Linda, and it did it for each of you. And many of us, if we stopped the service right now and we gave a testimony service, we would give testimony of how we have seen the Word of God, the leaven of the Spirit, transform lives all around us. Amen. Amen. And to God be the glory. Amen. So in spite of what is before me, I believe that this message, it transforms. And the kingdom of God is leaven working in bread. And the leaven, the kingdom, is taken and it's placed into the meal, the world around us. And the kingdom or gospel is deliberately taken and placed into the world. And the kingdom and the gospel are not there by chance. So there are significant things to show us how small this beginning of Christianity really was. It was born in the soul of a carpenter from an obscure village, Nazareth, and from an obscure and despised nation, Israel. It was carried forth by people who had no position and no prestige. There were no famous people among the early followers. It grew out of a few people who had very little faith, doubting faith many times. It was formed as the church, and the number was only 120 people. We see that in the book of Acts. And the purpose of the kingdom is to leaven. Say that with me, leaven. That is to change the whole world and the society around us. So we could, yes, we can look at everything and we can complain. We say, look at the world around us today. Where we could believe that the leaven can change lives one life at a time, transform. I can't change a whole system. God can. But what happens is I could speak into your life one-on-one and I could speak into your life one-on-one in your life and so can you. And the leaven of the gospel can do that. The purpose of the kingdom is to leaven. And so it seeks to leaven individuals. So maybe you're here this morning and you have a stinking attitude and maybe you don't want to be here at all. And maybe you're just here and you're here because someone brought you here or whatever like this. Well, beware. Because, man, I was in this church early this morning on my face right at that altar, okay? That the leaven of the Spirit would change your heart. okay? And I'm not talking that you would be a perfect little church person and all of this. I'm talking about a life change, transformation experience that you could say, oh my goodness, God, you are real in my life. I give you my addictions, God. I give you my anger, God. I give you my depression, God. I give you all of these things, God. God, I just give it to you. I can't handle it anymore doing it on my own. I've been to this person. I've been to this person. I've been to this person. I've taken this med, this med, this med. Lord, nothing seems to work. I give you my heart. Yes. If you are real, change me. Yes. Yes, Lord. I dare you to do that. It seeks to leaven a society as a whole, to penetrate. I believe that. I believe that, okay? You may think, I'm not naive, okay? I believe that God could change a society. I believe. You know, every time I read the Nugget or I read the Bay Today and I see someone who's got arrested in our city, and the last few days there's been a lot of huge, big drug busts, like huge. Like, this is North Bay, man. This is not Toronto. And a huge drug bust, like multiple thousands. And you know what I do? I tell you, and I'm not stalking anyone, but I put their name in Facebook.
That's right.
To see if I know who that person is. And to see who their related friends are, so that I start to pray for that individual. I start to pray for that family. I'll tell you why. Because I know enough police officers within this city, and they will tell you that it's generational. A lot of times the same family, you'll meet a police officer, says, oh yeah, I remember him. I arrested his grandfather. And now the grandson is in there. And so you know what happens is to break those generational things. Oh my goodness. You think God can't change a society when we go? So that's our part. So it's a silly name, social media. I don't want to do anything with social. Use it as a tool. There's been people in this church. They're not here now, and they've gotten in trouble with the law. And I prayed for them through Facebook. Amen. Amen. Because none of us are above it. Man, if I pulled a stupid and I got arrested or something like that, I hope you would put my name in Facebook and pray for me, because I obviously need you to help me more than I need you to hurt me or to accuse me. Right? So leaven, it finishes the work. Once inserted into the dough, nothing could stop it. Like, how many of you make bread here? So when you put that leaven in the bread, so all of a sudden, can you reverse that process and say, oh, no, 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 you can't. It finishes its work. Amen? It's amazing. And it works silently. And it works quietly. Without any fanfare or any spectacular, it just works and it finishes its work. It transforms the dough into something so beautiful, something so wonderful. Just like a person who genuinely allows the gospel of Jesus Christ to penetrate their heart and their life, it will do the same thing for you. And leaven works slowly and gradually, yet consistently. And it takes time for it to make a whole lump, and the believer can at least learn two lessons from this. It takes time to personally grow. Hey? And just like a child grows physically through proper nourishment, so the believer grows through spiritually when they're receiving proper nourishment. And so you'll go on Facebook today and you'll notice that in the discipleship class this morning, I interviewed these two. And if I could, I'd show it to you right now. But I interviewed these two and I said, what has it meant to you in the last 2 years? 2 years. They've been with me on a Sunday morning for a discipleship class, a discipleship connect group. And you know, I interviewed them. And so you'll hear them when you go to Facebook. You can go to Facebook and you can hear what their response was. It takes time to grow. And just as a child does, you know. And so leaven, what it does, it changes the quality. It changes the quality, not the substance of the dough. It's still dough. Yet it's changed. And just like a person who receives the gospel, you still remain a man or a woman, but it's a changed man or woman. But you're still just a man or a woman, a person of quality, a man or woman of God. Amen? John 6:36 says, "Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." Can you say amen? Yeah. Sister from Jamaica, say to me, "Brother, you're in the house." Remember I told you that story? I preached at a black church in Toronto. And I know that some of you, it's an old story, but I preached in a black church in Toronto, and I'm getting excited. And they're saying, "Brother, you're in the yard." You know what that means? That means I don't have enough anointing yet. Okay? When they say, "Brother, you're in the house," oh, then that means, and then they just, "Brother, you're in the house." Okay, so listen to this. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen. Amen? Your life will be full of joy. Your life will be full of things. It doesn't mean all the circumstances are going to go away, but how you deal with those circumstances, how you view other people's circumstances. You know what? If you're going through terrible circumstances, you need me not to judge you. You need me to see the best in you to help you go through those circumstances. Amen? That's what leaven does.
You're in the house, brother.
Thank you, sister. I received that. Oh. I don't usually do that. Oh. I'm having so much fun this morning. Oh, my goodness. So first of all, as the parable of the mustard seed, it teaches that not to underestimate small beginnings in your Christian life, okay? Don't ever underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate where you are with God, okay? And you know what? When you're always underestimating yourself, do you know what that is? That's false humility, okay? Because you could camp there and never move on. Secondly, it teaches us that when the Holy Spirit applies the gospel, there is no limit to what could happen in someone's life. The Holy Spirit is like leaven. Holy Spirit affects everything. Everything. Okay? I'm not trying to pump you up or anything like this morning. I'm telling you, Holy Spirit changes everything. And third, all things happen when we are not even aware that it's being changed. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation you look back and say, "Oh man, that must have been God there"? The work, sometimes it's silent, and maybe you think, "I wonder if I'm even growing at all. I don't see anything. I don't feel like I'm changing at all." And the truth is, Paul said, he said, "It is God who works in you, and it will be to God's good purpose." The presence of yeast in flour is foreign to natural makeup. It's a foreign element that's introduced to flour to make a dramatic reaction in the cooking, and yeast is radically different from flour itself. And this presents a picture of what it's like when we receive Christ. The pure Spirit of God comes to dwell in us because we are sinners. And in order for us to receive the gospel and enjoy fellowship with God through the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are given a new nature from above. It's a foreign nature. It does not match with our nature. But because of God's love, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, a divine nature becomes part of who we are. Hallelujah! Because you know what? Holy macaroni. I was going to say Mackinac. That's like the hockey guy, you know? Holy macaroni. This is taped. My district superintendent's going to call. He says, "Ken, I kind of like your passion, but like holy macaroni, like, you know?" God is good. In order for us to receive the gospel, enjoy the fellowship with God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are given a new nature. Amen? Amen. I have lots to go, but I'm not going to this morning. The yeast of the flour, okay, it's a mystery. How does it work? Like I said this morning, I said, why would you talk about yeast, preacher? You know, it's a mystery. Like, how does it do that? You're a baker. How does it do that? You know, it multiplies. That's a good word. And all we know is that Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like that. A woman took the yeast and mixed it into a large amount of flour until it worked through all the dough. And this is how the Holy Spirit works when he comes in us. Don't try to figure it out too much, okay? But just thank God that it works. Amen. Amen. Linda's going to come. We're going to receive communion this morning. I told you too many stories this morning, so I didn't get through all my word. But if you want, I'll start over. Yeah, so God is good. Let's stand together and here, Lynn, here you go. Let's stand together and close your eyes for a sec. No, you know what? Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. I don't want your eyes closed. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I thank you, Lord, that we could come together this morning and we could honor you and that we could do everything to an audience of one. And that, Lord, we could be blessed by you. We can grow in you. And, Lord, I know that there are some here this morning. And, Lord, they're here, but they're not here. And, Lord, you love each one of us this morning. And you desire for each of us to be in a relationship with you. I pray that the leaven of the Holy Spirit would just start to fill each one right here, right now. Lord, not so that we would be more obedient, or not so that we would be all of these things that we put upon ourselves. Lord, I pray that we would not do things in obedience out of the flesh, but we would do things to honor you because of the Spirit of God that is in us, because we have a thankful heart. You have shown us your glory. You have shown us what you have done all around. You have shown us, Lord, you have brought many of us through terrible situations where we've only had to trust on you. And Father, if we gave testimony this morning of all the things that you have done, the circumstances of life that are in this very room, how could we ever say there is no God? How could we ever say that there is no leaven of the Holy Spirit? How could we not this morning, Lord, want more of your presence within our life? And so, Lord, I pray for each one as we prepare our hearts to come for communion this morning. I pray, Lord, for this section over here. I pray for this middle section over here. I just pray the Father's blessing over each one, this section over here near the window. And I just ask, God, that you would fill each one to overflowing. That, Lord, even coming for communion this morning, that it would not be a tradition, but it would be a surrender to you, a surrender with a thankful heart. And so, Father, we give this to you now. In the name of Jesus, would you make your way as Pastor Linda leads us through communion this morning?